This morning I read from you from Matthew chapter 11. And this is a section that's often quoted across churches and across church members outside of church. When we look at the verses, and in particular Matthew 11:30, we hear, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I've often heard this verse misinterpreted several times across Christians and non-Christians alike. So today we're going to take a little bit of a look into what it means. But we're going to use an example to illustrate it instead of just studying that particular line itself. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 16. I believe this is one of the better examples that we have in the Bible of this yoke that Christ talks about. But bear with me, because this story has more than just the piece, this account has more than just the piece about the yoke. And it'd be very easy for us to follow the wrong rabbit hole. But I need to read through all these verses to establish the context. So starting in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after we had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And as we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed these things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." So just to kind of set the setting here, we have Paul and Silas, Timothy, who's talked about earlier in the scriptures before we did read. And then we likely have Luke with this group too, because Luke kind of penned many of these sections of Acts. And if you noticed as we read through that, it went from talking in sort of a third person sense, saying, you know, Paul did this and Silas did this, to all of a sudden a change to we. So we likely had Luke with them as well at this point. And they were going to go into Asia. That's where they thought their ministry was. They thought their ministry was there in Asia, and they started to head that way, but the Holy Spirit forbid them twice from going into Asia, which would have been around the Turkish area and the like. And the Holy Spirit instead led them through a vision that they needed to go to Macedonia. So we have this group of missionaries now going to Macedonia, and they come across a small colony, a colony of Philippi, next to Philippi. And they stay there for a little bit, and the Sabbath day comes up. Now, this colony was pretty small because they didn't have their own temple. That's how we can infer this. If they had had at least, maybe, I believe it's 10 male members, they could have their own temple. But since they didn't have that, this colony of believers met at the river. And in particular, there was a group of women there that they met to pray. Now, this is one of the earlier accounts of a prayer group, and we notice that women are still very prevalent in it back then. So that's to set the context. So we've got this group of missionaries. They were going to go to Asia. The Holy Spirit deterred them and sent them to Macedonia instead. Now let's pick up again in verse 16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit for fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So we have this group of missionaries that begin preaching in Macedonia. And Paul casts out this demon, this evil spirit that was inside of this young girl. And it upset her owners because their means of profit was gone. So they orchestrated these ministers to be brought before the people, condemned, beaten, and thrown in jail. Now, they weren't given a trial, so it was an unjust punishment. There was no court presiding or anything in there. They weren't given a chance to defend themselves, even though Paul had Roman citizenship. So where is this light yoke? If we were to read that scripture from Matthew, to be, well, when I join with Jesus, it should get easier. Where was that for those four missionaries? I mean, they had accepted Christ. They were preaching Christ. They were doing the work of Christ, and the Holy Spirit was leading them. It was preventing them from going into Asia and instead taking them directly in Macedonia. Where in Macedonia, they not only weren't met with a big audience, but were met with a hostile group that beat them and threw them in jail. And not just in jail, into the innermost parts of the jail. And not just in a cell, but into stocks. Now, we've kind of lost this vision in our heads because we think of jails today with the beds inside of it and the little toilet and the cell walls, and that's it. That's not necessarily how it looked back then. And stocks were cruel in of themselves. You see, stocks were meant to keep your legs apart so you would be uncomfortable there in the cell and you wouldn't be able to move. Now, while we can stand like that for a few minutes, imagine being locked that way, forced that way for several hours. Now, if you've gone through basketball or football practice, you'll often have different drills where you might get into a different position or you might do a series of them over and over and your body starts to quake. It starts to strain. So you can imagine how uncomfortable it was for these few to be locked in these stocks, to be yoked to the ground. But then how can Jesus tell us his yoke is light? And this is where the misinterpretation often comes about. Because we often think that that yoke being light is the work of ministry. That work of ministry is light. That's his yoke. And once we've accepted Jesus Christ, somehow we get this easy street. But that's not the case. That's not the yoke he's talking about. Now, I warned you, if we read too much of this context, we might go down a rabbit hole. And one might see that this is the rabbit hole. And go, there's a contradiction. But we're not done yet with this story. Picking up again on verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prison had prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. You have a guard now who's been put in charge of this prison. Now we know from other portions of the scripture, other accounts where we had guards, as well as from history itself, that if a guard were to fail to do his duty and keep his prisoners in the jail, that he would be subject to death. We even have accounts of Herod killing guards when some of the disciples were freed. So in the middle of this earthquake, with the doors being opened, the lights going out, and even the chains being loosened, this guard felt the full burden of his responsibility crashing down upon him. All the weight of his life was there on his shoulder, and he was ready to kill himself rather than be forced the public humiliation and the sentence of death for letting any prisoners go, the escape on his watch. But it's more than that. If we stop at just that, we see quite a burden that this soldier had upon him. But not the full weight of it yet. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Now, if this guard had only felt the responsibility of his burden as a soldier to watch over these prisoners, as soon as he hit that room, the logical thing for him to have done was to check their bonds, make sure they were still locked up, then somehow secure the gates for them, and go back to doing his job. If that was the only burden upon him at that moment, that's all he would have had to do. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He wasn't on the ground trembling for his fear that they got away anymore. You see, he had just witnessed the full power of God shaking the earth. And he realized how small he was in comparison to that powerful God. And the burden of all his life's worth of sins fell upon him at that moment. He wasn't worried about anymore about whether or not he'd get caught letting these prisoners go. He had the full weight of his whole lifetime on his shoulders. And there he stood in awe of the power of God. And he brought them out. He didn't leave them in the cell. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, that's the yoke we wear as sinners, as lost. We wear the burden of all of our guilt, all of our sin, because we choose not to accept Christ taking it away from us yet. We've chose to drag it around. It's a yoke to us. It ties us to this ground. And we're carrying this all day, all night. And we might think that we can push and pull through it. But when we see and we recognize the full power of God, and he presents himself to each and every one of us, when we recognize the full power of God, we've got a choice. Are we going to stay yoked down in our own personal sin, a burden we can no longer carry on our own and never really could to begin with? We just deceived ourselves about it. Or are we going to cast off that yoke? Or are we going to take it off and accept Christ and what he has to offer? Because his yoke is light. There's nothing attached to it anymore. It's all been paid for. There's no burden of sin dragging behind his yoke anymore. When we accept his yoke and we put it on, we are no longer tied to our sins. That's what he was talking about. If we go back to Matthew just for a second, Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to the babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me and by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." You see, at that point, at that earthquake, that is when the Father and the Son willed to reveal themselves to that guard and show him just how heavy his burden really was. Yeah, he had a responsibility, a mortal responsibility, but he also had an eternal damnation weighing him down. So when Christ says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest, not for your weary bodies, not for your minds, not for your ailments. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Back to Acts 16:30. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before him, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. This is that freedom of the truth. You see, he was, at the beginning of the night, he was a guard with the responsibility of keeping these rabble-rousers, these troublemakers, locked down. And now, after he had witnessed the power of God, and after he had taken off his own yoke and took on Christ, that didn't mean anything to him anymore. He even took those prisoners to his own house, and he cleaned their wounds. He fed them. He wasn't worried anymore about what the magistrates might think. All that burden was exchanged. And when it was day, the magistrates sent to the officers, saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrate has sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed, let them come out themselves and get us out." And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. The Holy Spirit had guided this small band of missionaries to Macedonia to preach to the lost. Paul knew he was a Roman citizen the whole time. He allowed himself to be beaten and put in stocks without a trial. He didn't bring it up prior. The Holy Spirit guided them. There was a right time to bring that to light. But they hadn't done what they were sent there for yet. And they needed to be in that jail. They needed to set someone free. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunities you give us to go out and find those that are tied down, dragging their sins behind them. Heavenly Father, when we come across those you set in our path this upcoming week, give us the wisdom, Lord, and the patience to follow your plan. Grant us the words at the right time. Grant us the insight, Lord, for how you are working on their hearts to reveal to them your awesome power and just how hopeless their burden is to carry themselves. God, as we gather for Thanksgiving and you remind us of all the things to be thankful for, bring it first and foremost to our hearts. Be thankful for the light yoke that you have provided us. So we don't have to look back and see our sins dragged behind us anymore. Heavenly Father, we ask for these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.